So we're in Daniel 4, starting at verse 1. King Nebuchadnezzar, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell on the earth, peace be multiplied to you. It has seemed good to me to show the signs and wonders that the Most High God has done for me. How great are his signs! How mighty his wonders! His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion endures from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at ease in my house and prospering in my palace. I saw a dream that made me afraid. As I lay in bed, the fancies and visions of my head alarmed me. So I made a decree that all the wise men of Babylon should be brought before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Then the magicians, the enchanters, the Chaldeans, and the astrologers came in, and I told them the dream. But they couldn't make known to me its interpretation. At last Daniel came before me, he who was named Belteshazzar after the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and I told him the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no mystery is too difficult for you, tell me the visions of my dream that I saw and their interpretation. The visions of my head as I lay in bed were these. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong, and its top reached the heaven, and it was visible to the end of the whole earth. Its leaves were beautiful and its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it, and the birds of the heavens lived in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. I saw in the visions of my head as I lay in bed, and behold, a watcher, a holy one, came down from heaven. He proclaimed aloud and said thus, chop down the tree and lop off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts flee from under it and the birds from its branches. But leave the stump of its roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze, amid the tender grass of the field. Let him be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his mind be changed from a man's, and let a beast's mind be given to him, and let 7 periods of time pass over him. The sentence is by the decree of the watchers, the decision of the word of the holy ones, to the end that the living may know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will and sets over it the lowliest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, saw, and you, O Belteshazzar, tell me the interpretation, because all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was dismayed for a while, and his thoughts alarmed him. The king answered and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation alarm you. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, may the dream be for those who hate you, and its interpretation for your enemies. The tree you saw, which grew and became strong, so that its top reached to heaven and was visible to the end of the whole earth, whose leaves were beautiful and its fruit abundant, and in which was food for all, under which the beasts of the field found shade, and in whose branches the birds of the heavens lived. It is you, O king, who have grown and become strong. Your greatness has grown and reaches to the heaven, and your dominion to the ends of the earth. And because the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave a stump of its roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field, and let him be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till 7 periods of time pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king. It is a decree of the Most High which has come upon my lord, the king, that you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. You shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and you shall be wet with the dew of heaven, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. And as it was commanded to leave the stump of the roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be confirmed for you from the time that you know that heaven rules. Therefore, O King, let my counsel be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by practicing righteousness and your iniquities by showing mercy to the oppressed, that there may perhaps be a lengthening of your prosperity. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace in Babylon, and the king answered and said, "Is this not great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty?" While the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven. "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And you shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will." Immediately, the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among men and ate grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair grew as long as eagle's feathers and his nails were like bird's claws. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. And he does according to his will amongst the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my majesty and my splendor returned to me. My counselors and my lords sought me, and I was established in my kingdom, and still more greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are right, and his ways are just, and those who walk in pride he is able to humble. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hello, everyone. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you speak to us through your word. We pray that you would do that to us now as we think about Daniel 4. Please teach us what this passage means and how it applies to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm going to ask a question as well. Has anyone been to the United Nations headquarters in New York? Anyone? Oh, yeah, some have. Yeah, great. Can anyone guess how many member states are represented at the UN? Any guesses? 190? Oh, that's very close. 193. Brilliant. Wow. Very good, very knowledgeable congregation. And if we had an opportunity to make a speech at the United Nations, I wonder what you would say. World peace, poverty relief, better education, religious freedom. In today's passage, King Nebuchadnezzar makes an announcement to all the nations in the world. It's as if he were making a speech at the UN. Well, what does he say to these nations? Well, look down with me to verse 1. King Nebuchadnezzar, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. It has seemed good to me to show the signs and wonders that the Most High God has done for me. How great are his signs! How mighty his wonders! His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion endures from generation to generation. Put simply, Nebuchadnezzar praises God. And he does this not just once, but 3 times in chapter 4. So second time, in verse 34, I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. And then a third and final time, in verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. Three times, Nebuchadnezzar praises God. So if Nebuchadnezzar were speaking at the UN today, he would be praising the Most High God. Does that surprise us? Perhaps we would expect him to be praising himself, not God. As Al was saying earlier, Nebuchadnezzar is so self-centered. He cares all about himself. That's what we saw in last week's chapter, if you were here. He had built a golden statue of himself, and he commanded everyone in the whole earth to bow down to this statue of himself. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three Jewish men, refused to do so, and they were thrown into the fiery furnace by Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was a megalomaniac. He only cared about himself. So why is it that in chapter 4, this same king praises the Most High God in front of the whole world? What a complete transformation. What is it that he has learnt about God? Well, today's passage tells us Nebuchadnezzar has finally understood something that is really, really important. It is this: the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he wills. Let me say that again. The Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he wills. This truth is so key that it shows up three times in chapter 4, verses 17, 25, and 32. It is the one big truth that totally transforms Nebuchadnezzar from a megalomaniac to a passionate praiser of the Most High God. And chapter 4 tells the story of this transformation. It records how the king finally grasped this truth for himself and ends up declaring it to the whole world. And so let's take this sentence as the theme sentence of our talk today. The Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he wills. And we're going to break it down into two halves. We'll look at the first half in the first... Apologies. We'll look at the first half in the first part of the talk and the second half in the second half of the talk. So the first half, the Most High rules the kingdom of men. In verses 4 to 18, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He dreams of a massive tree that stretches up to the heavens. This tree is so big that it can be seen over the whole earth. It has loads of leaves, and it gives shade to birds and animals alike. We find out in verse 22 that this tree represents King Nebuchadnezzar himself. His kingdom, the kingdom of Babylon, has become strong. It has spread to the ends of the earth. If you look at a map, in today's terms, the empire of Babylon would cover multiple countries: Iran, Kuwait, Syria, Lebanon, and Israel. It was massive. Now, I was at the British Museum a few days ago and was really impressed by the Babylonian objects in the museum. It was a wealthy and sophisticated empire. Just think of the Ishtar Gate and the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Babylon was rich, it was powerful, it was a big empire. But shockingly, in verse 14 and following, a watcher comes down from heaven and he proclaims, "Chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump of its roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field, and let him be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field, till 7 period of times pass over him." So Daniel interprets the vision as follows in verse 24. "The Most High has decreed that Nebuchadnezzar will be driven from among men, and his dwelling will be with the beasts of the field. He shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and he shall be wet with the dew of heaven, and 7 periods of time shall pass over him, till he knows that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he wills. And his kingdom will be restored to him from the time that he knows that God is the true king." So God has seen how powerful King Nebuchadnezzar has become. In fact, he has become so powerful that he is really arrogant. Just think of the golden statue from chapter 3 again. He thinks that he is the true king of the world, and he wants the whole world to acknowledge that, to bow down to him. Well, God is going to teach him a lesson. God will show Nebuchadnezzar who really is the true king of the world. And to do this, God will take Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom away from him. But more than that, he will drive him away from all human civilization. Nebuchadnezzar will live with the wild beasts. He will behave like an animal. He will eat grass and be exposed to the elements. He will become the lowest of the low. And after a period of time, he will finally learn that God is the true king of the world. Only then will his kingdom be restored to him. Now, taking a step back, the fact that God has revealed all of this in a dream shows us that he really is in charge. Nebuchadnezzar was arguably the most powerful man on earth at that time. He was also in charge of the most powerful empire as well. And yet, he was completely powerless when it came to understanding the meaning of the dream. He couldn't understand it, nor could any of his magicians and enchanters. Just like in chapter 2, this mighty king had to beg Daniel to do this. On top of that, Nebuchadnezzar was also completely powerless to stop the events promised from happening. God had pronounced judgment on him. His fate was sealed. All he could do was to follow Daniel's advice in verse 27 and hope for a reprieve. "Break off your sins by practicing righteousness, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the oppressed, that there perhaps may be a lengthening of your prosperity." Whether he did this, we don't know. We're not told. But anyway, 12 months later, as Nebuchadnezzar was walking on the roof of the palace, he said to himself, "Isn't this great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty?" While the words were still in the king's mouth, a voice from heaven said, "The kingdom has departed from you." And immediately the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among men and ate grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair grew as long as eagle's feathers, and his nails were like bird's claws. Nebuchadnezzar was powerless to stop the word of God from being fulfilled. The point of our first section is this: the Most High rules the kingdom of men. He is the true king of the world. He can remove even the most powerful kings from their kingdoms. The kings of this world cannot dictate their terms to him. It is he who dictates his terms to them. God is the Most High God who rules the kingdom of men. Our second heading is also the second half of our theme sentence. The Most High gives the kingdom to whom he wills. This is verses 34 to 37. The Most High gives the kingdom to whom he wills. God is the one who chooses who is king. Specifically, he deliberately chooses the lowliest to be king. This is so different to how the world works, isn't it? At the end of verse 17, it says, "The Most High sets over it," that's the kingdom, "the lowliest of men," the lowliest. In verse 33, Nebuchadnezzar was at rock bottom. He looked like an animal, and he lived like an animal. His hair was as long as eagle's feathers, and his nails were like bird's claws. If we walked into St. John's tonight, we would be horrified. Well, notice the contrast between verses 29 and 33. He was walking on the roof of the royal palace. And then in verse 33, so he was on the top of the world. But now in verse 33, he is crawling around on the ground like a wild beast. How the mighty have fallen. And from verse 34, we can deduce that his reason had gone from him. He was of unsound mind. Nebuchadnezzar was totally unfit to be king. And yet, that is exactly who God raises up to be king. He chooses the lowliest person to be the king. This happens step by step. First of all, verse 34, reason is restored to him. And then Nebuchadnezzar praises God for his everlasting kingdom and acknowledges the weakness of human beings. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will amongst the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can stay his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" Nebuchadnezzar has been totally transformed. He has learnt his lesson. He has been well and truly humbled. And so as a result, his kingdom is restored to him in verse 35. His majesty and splendor returned to him. His counselors and his lords sought him, and he was established in his kingdom, and still more greatness was added to him. God has deliberately raised up this lowly, humble beast of a man to become king of the world's largest empire. He has done this to show that he is the one who is ultimately in charge. He is the true king of the world. He decides who gets to be king and how long they will be king for. He gives the kingdom to whom he wills. Now, for those of us who know the Bible well, we know that King David was also the lowest of the low, wasn't he? He was the youngest son of Jesse. He was a shepherd, which meant that he was around sheep most of the time and would have been exposed to the elements. He probably would have been dirty and smelly. And yet God deliberately chose him, a lowly shepherd boy, to be king of Israel, because David was a humble man. He was a man after God's own heart. And if we fast forward to the New Testament, Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So you see, Jesus was willing to become the lowliest. He was willing to become a man, even though he was God. And then not only that, but he humbled himself to the point of death. He was willing to die on the cross, the most humiliating form of punishment in the Roman Empire. And then, as a result of his humility, what did God do? Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It was great we sang that hymn at the beginning, wasn't it? At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So God gives the kingdom to whom he wills, and he sets over it the lowliest of men. Back to our opening question. Why does Nebuchadnezzar want the whole world to praise the Most High God? Well, because it is the Most High God who rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he wills. Okay, so what does this all mean for us if God is the one in charge? Well, this means that we should join in with the praise that Nebuchadnezzar gives to God. If we are Christians, if we follow Jesus, well, we have even more reason to honor and extol and bless the King of Heaven because he has exalted Jesus Christ to his right hand. As the book of Revelation says, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. I was listening to Worthy is the Lamb from Handel's Messiah yesterday as I was preparing this talk. I was thinking, oh, great, can we get a choir together to sing this song? But it's probably too late now. But in fact, not only should the choir join in, all of us should sing God's praises. Nebuchadnezzar's proclamation in verse 1 was made to all peoples, all nations, and all languages that dwell in all the earth. So all the 8 billion people dwelling in this world right now should join in with the praise of the King of Heaven. Everyone here in Tunbridge Wells, in Kent, across the UK, around the world, should join in and praise the King of Heaven. All the rulers, that includes all the rulers of this earth, King Charles, Presidents Trump, Xi, and Putin, should all bow down to King Jesus. From north to south, from the Inuit in the Arctic Circle to researchers in Antarctica, from illiterate tribespeople in Papua New Guinea to the dons of Oxford University, every man and woman, boy and girl, needs to humble themselves and acknowledge that the Most High God rules the kingdom of men. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. Her Majesty, the late Queen Elizabeth II, showed great honor to God, didn't she? She expressed her devotion to King Jesus in many of her Christmas speeches. She saw herself as a humble servant of the Most High. In 1952, in her first Christmas broadcast, she asked the nation to pray that God may give me wisdom and strength to carry out the solemn promises I shall be making, and that I may faithfully serve him and you all the days of my life. Her favorite hymn was, does anyone know what her favorite hymn was? That's probably one of them. But apparently it's Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. The first stanza goes like this. Praise my soul, I'm not going to sing it. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven, to his feet thy tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like thee his praise should sing? Praise him, praise him, praise the everlasting King. The world needs more leaders like her. Let's pray that God would humble proud kings and presidents and teach them that he alone rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he wills. At the same time, let's do what Nebuchadnezzar did in our own sphere of influence. God has placed people in our paths, and we have a responsibility to proclaim to them that he is the true king. Now, if we watch the news, we'll know that Charles is the king of the UK and Keir Starmer is prime minister. But who is really on the throne? It is Jesus Christ. He could get rid of Charles or Keir Starmer tomorrow if he so wishes. But Jesus' kingdom will last forever and ever. And so let's call on our family, our friends, our neighbors and colleagues, and even people we don't know to submit themselves to the true king. A few of us were doing walk-up evangelism this afternoon, and it was a privilege to be able to tell them to worship the true king, to bow the knee to Jesus Christ as Lord. As Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And there may be some here tonight who have not bowed the knee to King Jesus. Well, let me encourage you to do so as soon as possible. It will be much better to humble yourself now than to be forcibly humbled on the day of Jesus' return. Well, let me close by giving King Nebuchadnezzar the last word. Now I, King Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are right and all his ways are just, and those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we praise you that you are indeed the King of heaven, and we honor Jesus Christ as Lord. We acknowledge your power and your authority to raise up kings and to remove them. We pray that the kings of this world would humble themselves before you and your anointed one. Give us courage not to fear them, even when they are hostile to you, knowing that one day they will bow the knee to Jesus. Help us to proclaim his lordship to the people around us, so that they too may serve him. In his name we pray. Amen.